Everyone has their own mix of shadow. And that's why I think it's really important for anyone who's looking to grow a business that feels in alignment with them to do some of this deeper work into seeing, you know, what's showing up for them as they grow their business. Because of course, most of our clients and customers are feeling similar ways, right? And that leads us to be able to really know them and connect with them in this deeper way.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I also trust you enjoyed my conversations with Emanuela Grace of Find Your Voice and with Bryony Thompson of Watertight Marketing. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast today as my guest, Anna Swee. Anna is a life and business coach who specializes in helping business owners intuitively connect with their ideal clients, harness their inner genius, and create high-value programs. This creates deeper relationships, higher conversion rates, more intimate marketing, easier sales conversions, and also a dramatic increase in repeat business. All things I'm really excited about. Now, Anna is a serial entrepreneur. She's an international entrepreneur, a writer, a speaker, and is the founder of the Intuitive Business School. She's the author of Shadow Magic, which is all about turning your fear into fuel and creating a prosperous coaching business. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the Transformational Marketing Hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP. Go check it out. It's free to join. And if you're a member already, just log in and you'll have access to all the resources there. In our discussion today, Anna talked to me about integrating your blocks, the things that get in your way, the things that hold you back, and recognizing and embracing them as a powerful way to harness that energy. How you need help to build really deep self-awareness, something you can't really do that well on your own. And how connecting with your intuition in a way that fuels your innovation and brings out your unique gifts and contributions can supercharge what you bring to the world. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Anna Swee. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Houston in Texas in the USA, Anna Swee. Now, Anna is a leadership evolution coach. She's also a speaker, and she's the author of Shadow Magic, the book. Now, Anna specializes in helping business owners intuitively connect with their clients. Welcome to the podcast, Anna. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Jürgen, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Now, Steve August, who was our guest on episode 197 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested we interview you and introduced us. So big hello to Steve.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for introducing us.
And Anna, your book, Shadow Magic, it talks about turning your fear into fuel and creating a prosperous coaching business. So you work with coaches primarily. And the shadow that you talk about, you say, contains the secrets to accessing our own unique gifts and genius that can help us powerfully connect with our ideal clients and also become unstoppable in our field and as leaders. And some of the topics you talk about are self-awareness, service, about using your unique gifts to serve your ideal clients. So I'm really looking forward to digging deeper in those topics today because a lot of that resonates with me. But before we do talk about all things shadow and unique gifts and
connecting with our ideal clients. Tell us a little bit more about your background. How did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the pivotal moments in that journey?
That's a great question, Jürgen. So because I do this shadow work, it really came from some deep and some would say dark periods of my life. I started coaching pretty much as a necessity. I'm a serial entrepreneur, international entrepreneur, and about 6 years ago, I was in Beijing co-founding a high-tech health startup. And we had just gotten a bunch of funding, and we hired our engineering team, and we were just really growing. We had about 300,000 users from the very beginning. And then I come to find that my grandparents, who were living in the United States, were really sick. And so I flew home, and it turns out that they had various types of stage 4 cancer. Mm. And basically, I was their sole caretaker. I'm from an immigrant family. We come from southern China, came with no language skills, little to no resources. And both my parents were basically, working full-time jobs and didn't speak English and didn't have the mental or emotional capacity to help my grandparents. And so as I was taking care of them and pretty much planning for them to pass, and all these family dynamics coming up and, working and healing through those, I was at a networking event, and an executive from Bank of America asked me if I would be her coach. And, I had no idea what that was. I was maybe 27 or so at that time. And she said that it was just a peace and a confidence that I had showing up in the world that she wanted in her high stress job. And that really set me to discover the world of coaching and to integrate what I do privately, which is energy work, shadow work, although I didn't call it that at the time. And I did that on myself, and I integrated that with helping other people. And because I needed to have time to take care of my grandparents, I really chose coaching because it gave me the ability to manage my own schedule. And it also gave me this beautiful space that I can make my own and develop mastery in. And when I first, hung up my sign and said that I was a coach, I got these amazing high-tech business owners, homicide detectives, artists, people who were executives in the biopharmaceutical space, and all types of creatives and healers. And I thought, wow, this could be a lot of fun. Mm. And then that was a few years ago, and here we are.
Yeah, lots of variety there too.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you talk about the shadow in your book, or the book's called Shadow Magic, but you talk about the shadow quite a lot. So what is it you actually mean by the shadow?
So most people can identify with self-sabotage, right? It's that part of us that shows up when we're about to take a big step, or interestingly enough, it actually shows up also after we've had a big accomplishment. And so that sense of self-sabotage, those thoughts of, oh no, can I do this again? Can I repeat this? Am I just one and done? Will I be able to continue growing? So those thoughts and the subtle ways that we sabotage our success or our growth, that's the shadow. So the shadow is part ego. It's a part of us that wants us to stay the same. And it's also a big part, our wounded child. It's the needs that we haven't met. It's the part of us that wants unconditional love from us. It's the part of us that's scared that we won't fit in or people will laugh at us if we become more visible. So the shadow is basically these deeper parts of our personality that we don't really want to deal with. So we repress it. We, take a lot of drugs sometimes. We overwork, which is also a drug. And what happens is it just makes us stronger, right? And I'm sure you've heard in psychology the work of Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud. They talk about the shadow as these kind of repressed parts of our, more of our animalistic being. And then when you go into ancient healing modalities like shamans and indigenous medicine doctors, they also talk about the shadow. In so many different countries around the world, thousands and thousands of years old, they talk about the shadow as this part of our soul that breaks off when we've encountered trauma. So I found that there's just so many different echoes of shadow. And when I talk about it as it relates to business owners, it's part of our ego and wounded child. It's part of us that we just need to integrate, right, to be more whole and to be more strong.
Mm-hmm. So I guess every human has, like, I think there's three needs, aren't there? There's the need to know that you're good enough, the need to know that you're loved, and the need to know that mm-hmm. you belong. And it's often, that self-sabotage side of us that you call the shadow that kind of sows doubts in our minds that we don't belong, we're not good enough, and we're not loved. And then that shadow side, I'm guessing, is the one that kind of looks for evidence to prove that you're right about that.
Yes, absolutely. You're so right. And it's actually, I would go even a little further and say there's an actual part of us that deeply knows or deeply believes that it's not loved, right? There's an actual part of us, maybe it's a childhood part of us, that deeply believes that money will bring about problems. And so there's all these, and everyone has their own mix of shadow. And that's why I think it's really important for anyone who's looking to grow a business that feels in alignment with them to do some of this deeper work into seeing, you know, what's showing up for them as they grow their business. Because of course, most of our clients and customers are feeling similar ways, right? And that leads us to be able to really know them and connect with them in this deeper way.
Now, a lot of people would advise, well, you know, just beat down that shadow and, you know, leave your ego at the door and, you know, just go through, charge through the fears, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. And I think your approach is a little different, right?
So, yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that totally drives me crazy when I hear that. It's so violent, you know, because I mean, think of it, right? At the end of the day, we're beating this part of ourselves. I've actually worked with some coaches that they're like, destroy your shadow, destroy your fear, burn it, explode it. But what really it is it's part of our growth. It's part of our power. It's a part of us that we'll never actually get rid of, right? Because we're not meant to, because you can't just be this one-dimensional being. You can't just be happy all the time, right? You need to have these deeper pieces of you to allow you to be happy. And so that's why I think that, you know, beating your shadow to death or your fear to death is really beating yourself to death. And at the end of the day, that's, I think, a mistake.
Yeah. Well,
at least it's suffering.
One view that I kind of take this view is that it's all part of you. And, you know, there are parts of you that are beyond conscious awareness, but they keep you safe and, you know, look after you. Because if you think about it, you know, your heart beats and keeps blood pumping through the body. You're breathing, you know, you don't need to think about that. That's all driven by some unconscious force, and clearly it keeps you alive. So, you know, if you take the view that all of these things are there to have some positive function and, you know, protect you as a complete being, then beating it down doesn't make sense at all. So what's your approach to kind of working with that shadow side?
Yeah, so I think you're absolutely right, and I completely agree with you. It's just part of us. And why in the book I said that it's really fuel for you is when we're able to integrate parts of our shadow, it's just like moving into fear, right? We can like beat it, we can try and overcome it, but if we actually move into it, like move into those like dark parts of us that are really scary, but in the end of the day aren't really scary, right? If you have a guide or someone to help you, which is, I think, a big part of what you do. You help people, right? Go through some of their stuckness and their fear. So when we can move into these parts of us, we actually bring illumination, we bring light, and we actually bring love. So we bring this consciousness, and that part of us actually feels connected and loved. And then it'll stop fighting against us. And what happens there is we become what I call the executive self. We become more of the executive of our life. We stop running away from our fears and our thoughts because we know that we have control. We know that it's part of us. We know that when it shows up, it's just letting me know that, okay, maybe I need to slow down now, right? Because I have a tendency to overwork, which I'm sure many people can relate to. So when my shadow comes up of, you know, I'm really tired, you know, can I do this? I'm just going to overwork myself, right? What that shows up, it shows up as me getting really exhausted, and I actually get physical symptoms. Like I get really sick or I get really tired before I'm about to go on a big launch. And when that shows up, I just know, oh, there's a part of me that feels like she's scared because we're going to go to this big launch and then I'm going to overwork myself again. And then when I can take that little step to just acknowledge that part, to send love to that part, to bring that part with me, then I feel this wholeness, right? Which doesn't mean that that fatigue goes away immediately, but it does mean that I'm actually healing that pattern and creating a new pattern where I'm working out of creativity and out of my executive space versus forcing myself to work, right? With 10 cups of coffee and then eventually ultimately overworking myself, which was my pattern. And so when we can take the shadow along for the ride, we just become a more multi-dimensional person. And I think it just becomes so much more interesting, you know?
Yeah. And that's a great example, because in some ways you could say, well, that shadow side there is trying to look after you, because it's saying, hang on, Anna, you're overworking. You're going to burn yourself out. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And I do want to say that it does show up as physical symptoms. So I've worked with clients where, you know, they will get physically sick and then they're like, well, I need to take care of myself. I can't, you know, do this launch right now or have this client call right now because it's a really scary part of their business. Right. And I've talked to people who have had, you know, stuckness and confusion. I don't know what to say. And I have to say that a lot of times these are just shadow parts of us that are showing up as self-sabotage because they don't feel safe. There's a part of us that doesn't feel safe. And so there are a lot of, you know, coaches who will say, and you know, this does work, just push through it. Whatever you do, just push through it. And you can push through it and break through. But what I found is when you take that step, sometimes it becomes, it's not renewable, meaning the next time you hit that, you're going to have to force yourself to push through again versus what I'm talking about, and I think also what you're talking about too, is just build that relationship with yourself, because the next time that shadow comes up, it'll be, you know, just reinforcing that relationship and you won't have to push through it. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a different way of operating.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to say, you know, the fear, I mean, there's, I guess the classical psychological theory is the fear comes from our sort of prehistoric history, if you like, where we had to roam the plains and hunt, and every now and then we'd encounter some danger like a saber-toothed tiger or a big dinosaur predator, and you know, we needed to be alert to that, and the fear kind of helped to keep us safe and get away. So I'm thinking, well, if I'm encountering a saber-toothed tiger out on the plains, I want to feel the fear. I want to feel it really early so I can actually do something about keeping myself safe consciously. So working against it doesn't make sense if you take that approach. So what kind of work do you do on yourself and with clients to work on themselves to kind of, you know, embrace or understand those feelings, understand that, you know, that thing, shadow, whatever it is that's might be sabotaging them, and how to embrace that and understand it better.
Yes, tying in with what you said about these prehistoric times, and I know you're in Australia, so for some reason I picture these giant killer kangaroos like coming after me. And you know, the fear is there for a reason. But the crazy thing is the amount of fear that some of my clients have experienced, and I've personally experienced over hitting post on Facebook, you know, just putting a Facebook post, or the amount of fear I have over, you know, calling a prospect. Sometimes it feels like, you know, that prehistoric fear, right? Yeah. And where that kind of ties in is we have this family lineage fear too. So yes, like, you know, we have this evolved fear from, you know, when we were, you know, just, you know, cavemen, but also in our families, when we're growing up in our families, we also internalize a lot of our parents' fear, our family's fear around money. My family lineage, most recently, my family was in China during the Cultural Revolution. So there was a lot of fear around persecution, standing out, having too much money, even though it's not, you know, we weren't rich by any means, but it's just like, you don't want to be called out because bad things happened to members of my family. Horrible things happened to members of my family because they stood out because they had just a little bit more land, right? Or they were just a little bit more educated. And so that's deep within me. So one thing that I work with my clients is looking at this lineage, looking at where their fear comes from, looking at really the patterns that they're breaking, which usually are family patterns. And so it's kind of a big deal, right? And being able to just identify those blocks. And I have a really simple process that I'm happy to share here that I help people look at their blocks and just help them integrate them, right? Because that's most of the work. And then after you look at the block and you integrate it and you bring it into consciousness, then we have the space to be ourselves. And well, what do I want to do versus what is my fear telling me to do, right? Which is react and do all this work. But what do I actually want to do as a creative, intuitive person in my business? And sometimes actually, Jürgen, I'll tell you, that's actually even scarier for people when they're like, wow, I have a choice. I can be myself. And sometimes actually that's really scary. What do I want to do? I don't know. I've never been connected to what I want to do, what's in alignment with me. And so the other half of the work is creating that, right? Like really allowing them to see, just like how I created my business off of something called shadow and energy work and doing coaching with people, like that's kind of strange, right? We can really make coaching our own thing. And so helping people explore the ways that they're building their signature programs, or if they want to work with one-on-one clients, or if they want to focus on events, and how to really imbue their business with their creativity, right? And with their essence. And so that's half the work. So typically that's what we work on.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole lot of things in that. First of all, what comes to mind is it's actually quite challenging I found it quite challenging when you're asked, you know, what do you really want to do? And when I've been in at times in my life in that situation of, you know, I'm kind of stuck or I'm at a transition. When I first started this business, for example, you know, a big transition in my life. And to answer that question, what do you really want to do, is quite challenging.
Yeah.
And to try and figure that out on your own is almost impossible. I think you've got to be working with somebody that has the skills that you have to kind of help you bring that out and help you externalize your dreams and your goals and articulate them in a way that actually makes sense and then connect with them really deeply, because I think that's really important as well. But the other thing I've heard said a few times, and that's that our greatest fear isn't the fear of failure or the fear of not being good enough or anything. It's actually the fear that we're actually a lot more powerful and a lot more gifted, and we have something to contribute to the world than we think. And the fear is that, you know, by stepping out into that limelight and sharing that's what we're really afraid of.
I would completely agree with that. I mean, I think the other fears are pretty real too. And I think the reason why that's such a fear for us is when we realistically, honestly, truthfully look at our life and our systems, meaning, you know, just our mindset, the systems that we have every day, meaning the, you know, if we have any rituals or the habits that we have, we're really not, we really haven't optimized ourselves to achieve our dreams and be able to live in that space, right, where we're very successful. And so deep inside unconsciously, we know that we actually have to make a lot of changes for us in order for us to even, I call it hold the space, hold the energy of our ideal clients, right, or our ideal business. So, you know, when I, and, you know, my clients are this way too, when I think, oh, well, I want to grow my business to this level and I want to work with this many clients, I check into my energy to see, can I actually hold this many people? And I ask my clients the same thing. Okay, you want to run a mastermind with 12 people? I don't think your system can hold that because you're exhausted, right? And you have a lot of these, let's say, shadows or self-sabotage mechanisms that we need to look at first. And so if we're honest with ourselves, we can just intuitively gauge, am I able to hold space for the bigness of my vision and for my dream? Most of us, it's no. And especially, and this is not a bad thing, because if we're really motivated and we're growing, we want to hold bigger and bigger businesses and bigger dreams and bigger dollar amounts, right? Usually there's, you know, we have to work ourselves up to it. And so I think the fear of success is we actually unconsciously know that we might not be able to hold that success, which is why I think the inner work is so important, because I know there's so many coaches and programs that are like, hey, I can get you, you know, X many clients and we can give you a, you know, $50,000 or $500,000 launch, right? And yeah, if they push through and follow their templates and all that stuff and their funnels, I've seen people do that. But what you don't hear is, after that, people just kind of go into this dark hole because they have no idea what to do then, because they weren't, you know, prepared or ready to hold space for all of that business. And what happens is their old mechanisms kick in and they can't sustain it. And so I think that doing this inner work is so important because it helps you organically grow and actually sustain the success that comes to you.
And the other thing about that also, and you know, that's, I agree with you entirely about the inner work, is that it gives you a better understanding of what is your unique gift that you have to bring. Because if you basically just copy and paste, if I could put it that way, a system and a process from somebody else, you're not really modeling off their success. You're just basically copying what they're doing. So you're being a clone of them. And that is unlikely to be in alignment with your own values and therefore with the values of your ideal client. So whilst it might give you the short-term success if it's a good system, it's exactly as you say. At some point, it's going to fall over because you're going to feel a values conflict. You're going to feel as though you can't hold the space, as you said. So I think...
Mm.
You know,
I love what you said, a values conflict. That's so true. And, you know, I want people to not feel bad, right? Because a lot of times, like, these programs are sold to you as like, well, if you just, exactly what you said, copy and paste this funnel, it will work for you, right? But then at some point, we're just like, well, you know, this doesn't feel right, right? Or you find yourself not wanting to do something. And if anyone is like in that space, just know that it's just calling more of your essence. It's calling for you to make it yours. But, you know, definitely don't feel bad, because I've definitely been guilty of doing that. It's like, yeah, I just want it to work, you know. Yeah,
me too. I fall into the trap, though, of saying, well, okay, I'll take that system, but I don't like this bit of the system because, I sense the value conflict straight away or whatever it might be, and I tweak the system before I actually test it. And then, of course, by tweaking it, I inevitably break it so that I don't get the success that the person promised and that the person has had themselves. So yeah,
but that's great, Jürgen, because I think you have a clear understanding of who you are, right? And the essence of who you are and what you want to create. So I think that's actually like part, you get the right idea there, because there is no other you, and so you're just saying, yeah, I want to make this work for me. So I actually think that's a pretty good intuitive piece that you followed.
So on that topic of self-awareness, and I know you do a lot of work in this area, really getting connected to who we are and what we value and so on, what are some of the steps that you take in working through that with people?
Okay. So with self-awareness, what you said before, I just want to echo that, which is it's nearly impossible to do on your own. Please don't try, because if you can imagine, you know, we have, 50 to 80,000 thoughts a day, and an overwhelming amount of them are negative, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to sit here with my own negative thoughts trying to coach myself. Like, that's going to be very hard, right? In the beginning, especially. And so when I work with myself and when I work with clients, and actually when I work with my coaches, right, for self-awareness, it usually starts with something. So, in the coaching world, usually it's, you have a problem, right? And so, for me, what I do with myself and my clients is we look at this problem and we look at the part of us that created this problem. And I talk about it in terms of our parts. What part of you created this situation? What part of you blocked you from, doing well on this launch, right? What part of you blocked yourself from reaching out to this prospect? And when we look at the part, we can actually see that there's a part of them, and actually go into dialogue with this part, right? So what does this part want? What is this part? Why is this part showing up? What are the needs of this part? In a recent example, someone was unable to really have the coaching conversation that she wanted with a prospect, a discovery call, because there was a part of her that just kept on showing up saying, you're not ready, you're not ready. Who would want to work with you? And so that voice was present in her coaching company, coaching business the entire time. And now we're just gaining awareness of it. So it was like a big relief that it wasn't just her not being a good coach. It was actually this part of her, and some people would say that it's a thought, but I actually experience it as an actual like entity. Like there's a part of us that's saying, no, you can't do this. And so just communicating with this part and asking it, you know, why do you feel this way? And for you to really allow that part to express itself, you actually learn a lot. And then for you to be able to just have this part relax and give this part what it needs. So sometimes our parts need just a hug from us, right? Sometimes it just needs acknowledgement. And sometimes it's the sweetest things. It's like, I just want you to accept me and love me even though I'm not perfect. And usually people are in tears, right? It's the most normal people when they communicate with these deeper parts of themselves, we're in tears because we realize, wow, we've been starving ourselves this whole time of one of our primary needs, like you said, our love. And when we can offer that to that part, then what happens is usually there's a big sense of release, like a huge sense of release. And then what happened with this client is then she was able to get back into herself. She was like, oh, I see now. She could see that she naturally had these questions that she wanted to ask this prospect. She could see now that she had this natural insight that she could have offered this prospect. But because this voice was so loud, she just couldn't get there, right? So she's like, I'm a horrible coach. No, you're not. There was just this part of you that was a little loud. And so what we did with her was exactly what I said. We just spoke to this part, and then she was able to get back into her executive space. And then when she was back in this space, she just basically contacted this prospect again to set up another conversation with them, right? To be specifically in that executive energy. Because a lot of times we're thrown off our executive energy. And that's the energy that we need to make decisions, to get work done, to hold that space during a sales conversation that's purely confident, so that the person on the other line, and also during a coaching call, that's really solid, really confident, so that the person on the other line can feel safe in our presence and we can deeply serve them. But a lot of times we're actually thrown off our executive space by these shadows. And the first step is really to just be aware and then communicate with this shadow part. And just give it what it needs. Usually it's something like a hug, or it's some sort of acknowledgement. Or sometimes I get that it's an inner child and the inner child just wants to play. It doesn't want to be criticized by, you know, his parents anymore, right? He just wants to go play and explore and go into the mountains. And it's so amazing when you allow that to happen, you feel like this sense of relief. And then you have to get back into your executive space and make decisions in that space and get back on this call with this prospect, right? And usually when you get used to it, that work can be done in a matter of a minute or two. And you can be doing this work as you're on a call with someone, right? So that's the beautiful thing. And that's what I think is the most powerful tool for people to be able to check in with themselves, is to actually have a conversation with that part of them. And then to get back into their executive space, which feels very different than being in a space of fear and reaction.
I've observed quite a bit of parts integration work, and I've actually done some myself. And like you say, it is very powerful and very emotional. And usually there's tears involved. And it, like you say, it's, you know, in people can change in moments. And what I've seen is that usually you come very quickly, or, you know, the subject that's doing the parts integration very quickly comes to the realization that both the parts that might seem to be in conflict actually want the same thing for them. And then, you know, you get to that point where there's hugs involved, or forgiveness or love or whatever it might be. And then the impact it has on that individual is amazing. And I know I've experienced it myself, having gone through it as well.
Yes, so you get it. It's really powerful. And this is a precious part of us that is acting out, let's say, in anger, right? Because it's not being understood. And so why would we want to destroy this poor little part of us? And in the integration, you actually build up your energy. And we talked about being able to hold space for our success and growth. Like that's what it means. Like when we're doing this work, we become just like this presence. And I can feel, Jürgen, you have this presence, right? And that's really, unfortunately, what's lacking in the world right now, but that's what people need. And so for those of us who are able to do this inner work and have that presence, but people just need that, and they can spot it a mile away. And that's why it's so powerful.
Now, one of the things I do a lot of work with my clients on is really getting clear about their ideal clients and who they work with best and how they can connect with them and build relationships with them. And I know that's something you talk about quite a bit as well. You know, identifying who you're meant to work with and who you're meant to serve. And I like that you use the word serve. And what I'm interested in hearing from you is how do you help your clients go about identifying their unique niche and where they can add the most value?
That is great. And this is, I think, just so such important work that you're doing around helping people identify their ideal clients. And because, you know, what I found when I work with people on this is, you know, if they're early stage in their coaching, their ideal clients really are them, right? It's really them a few stages before. They're very similar in terms of, you know, the issues that they're going through. And what I find that as you move, when your business gets a little bit more advanced and you as an entrepreneur begin to grow, our ideal clients will actually begin to scare us. Meaning we're like, really? These people want to work with me? Or I, you know, these are my ideal clients. That's really scary because I feel like I should be their clients, right? And so there's a point when we get so connected to our gift, right? And maybe that's an insight or a spiritual gift, or, you know, maybe you're really good at business strategy or whatever it is. When you get more connected to your gift, your confidence grows, you'll actually find that your ideal clients are higher level than you. And that's a part where it can feel really scary. And I know that because I'm basically in that spot right now where it's like, wow, these are people that I should be working with, but I feel like they should be working with me to work on this inner stuff, right? Like maybe their business is super successful, but their personal lives really need a lot of balance, their relationships with themselves, their families. And I know I can help them with that. And so my suggestion for your audience is really knowing your gift, being confident in it, and allow this ideal audience to come to you, because it might be scary. Like they might be people that you're intimidated by, which I think is like the best, right? Because then all your shadows will show up and then you can do all this other work on it yourself.
Yeah. Yes. So challenge yourself as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
And expose the shadow. All right. Now, earlier on in our conversation before we started the recording and when we had all those technical difficulties, you were telling me about the little obsessions that we all have. So talk to us a little bit about some of your little obsessions.
Oh, yes. So I do have little obsessions. So I'm a Virgo and I really like washing my hands a lot. That's one of them. but also I have this obsession of and for those of us who are really into spirituality or law of attraction, I definitely have this obsession of checking in with myself. Like, how did I create this? Right? If I go outside and it's raining, right when I go outside, I'm like, how did I create this? What part of me created this? I was just telling you, chatting with you, that I just got back from this amazing mastermind, because we should all be working with coaches and going to amazing masterminds. I was just in this mastermind in the Colombian rainforest, and I got a sinus infection, right? I got pretty sick when I came back, and this was just yesterday. And I'm like obsessed, like, okay, well, you know, what does this mean for me? On my way to the mastermind, my flight, because of the storm, the hurricanes that are moving through southern US, it sidetracked our plane. And there was a point where there was so much turbulence that actually, like, I was looking at the people around me and they're all South Americans, right? So these women, they were like praying they're like, oh, please don't, you know, let this flight go down. And then I was looking to my left and there was like two other, you know, grandmas doing the same thing. And then someone had pulled out a rosary at some point. And I was like, wow, this is so interesting. Of all the flights, why am I on this flight? And so my obsession is constantly checking with myself. And I don't highly recommend it all the time because you will drive yourself crazy. but the good thing is I have built kind of this mini network of spiritual advisors, you know, friends and colleagues who are coaches. And so I just kind of check in with them. And I'm sure they're sick of me, but it's like, why did this happen? You know, what did my guide say? And, you know, you do get some interesting feedback, right? And again, don't obsess about it because that's borderline unhealthy. but it's good to know what energy I'm sending out into the world, because the younger part of me would have been like, Anna, you created this horrible scenario with the turbulence and I was late, you know, to catch my next flight and had to stay overnight at this hotel that didn't have water, right? And so the younger part of me would have been like, Anna, you're negative and you're coming from this negative victimized space. And that's why you're attracting this. But now the current me is saying, oh, this happened. And it's really pushing me to really stand firmly in how I create beautiful things out of bad situations or difficult situations. And that really helped me to see that there were so many gifts there and I made so many friends there. And it becomes a story that now is hopefully helping other people. So as we become more stronger in our personal work, I can actually go into situations that would have taken me over in a negative way. And now I can walk into these situations so solid in my core and in my confidence. And I think that's one of the benefits of that obsessive checking in, right? It's allowing me to grow too.
Yeah, I really like that though, because I mean, one of the things I do quite a lot is, and this has come about through my own work with my business coach, is, you know, being curious about what comes up for me. And what I find really powerful in situations like you've described, where, you know, you don't have control of what's going on and it may be unpleasant, is what I do in those situations is look to how can I reframe this? Because basically, you know, the situation is what it is, and I can make it mean something bad, I can make it mean something good.
Exactly. You know,
not necessarily something good, but I can make it mean something that is an opportunity either to learn or to experience something different. So that's what often helps me in those situations.
Yes, and I love so many things about that, and especially that you said it's your business coach, right? And we're all coaches, and a lot of us, I think, are business coaches. When we look at business, it really is personal work, and you really need someone to be there to reflect that to you, even if you know this or you read this somewhere, or, you know, we all know better, right? But to have someone that you trust ask you those questions and help you make that shift, it's so powerful because it really has this deeper effect on how you run your business, right? Imagine everything now that comes that's an obstacle, you just see as this immense opportunity. How much does that change your business? That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's right. And also, you know, to your point about the business coach, so a good business coach will hold that space that you mentioned earlier for you and will also serve you. So they won't go soft on you if, you know, if you're doing work yourself, if it gets too tough, you just back off and leave it be, whereas a good business coach won't back off at that point. You know, they'll hold the space for you and work through the issues so that, you know, and sometimes it needs that to get a breakthrough.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. I completely agree with that.
Well, I could go on talking for ages. This is really fascinating and I love this topic, Anna, but I'm aware of the time. So I think it's a good point now to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round. And it's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So the buzz is five questions, and hopefully we'll get some really insightful answers from you today that'll inspire people to go and do something awesome.
Okay, I did not look at these questions beforehand, so I will be surprised.
That's all right. There's no wrong answers. Okay. So what do you think the number one thing is anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Listen to your intuition. Your intuition is so unique. Your intuition is connected to the marketplace, who you're meant to serve, who your audience is. So if you feel like you're not intuitive, you are. Just listen to your intuition. It's a much quieter voice than your thoughts, and you'll be the most innovative in your space.
Yeah, I love that. And it's amazing because when you, sometimes I get a funny feeling, and if you take the time to be curious, where did that come from? It is something intuitive that points the way to something. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I've had situations where I've thought of a person. Now, this is going a long way back now. It dates me a little bit because we don't get a lot of mail in the mailbox these days, letters. But I'm from Germany, so I've got lots of friends in Germany. And back in the days when we were writing letters, I would think of somebody who I hadn't had contact with for months, and I'd go out to the letterbox on that day and there'd be a letter from that person. So it's quite amazing. Those sort of experiences.
Wow.
And there's, you know, there's lots of other things there. So yeah, listen to your intuition. I love it.
I love getting letters. I feel like you should send some letters. If you ever decide to send any letters out, I would love to get one from you.
All right. I'll get your address later. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
repeat from number one, develop my intuition. So my intuition works where if I'm talking to someone, then I'll get a lot of new ideas. And so just realizing where, how your intuition works. So when I'm with creative people, I get creative ideas. Sometimes when people are in a different environment, I mean, it's been proven that when you change your environment, you get different ideas. So just know what's a go-to for you. Right? Maybe it's that one person that you just have like a lot of laughs and then all these ideas come to you. So I know that when I talk to certain people that I always get new ideas. Or if I just talk to people on a Facebook Live and I ask them what some of the things are that they're going through, then I get so many ideas from that.
Hmm. Yeah, I love the asking the questions as well, because often people will share concerns or issues that they're facing right now. And if you really know your own unique gifts and strengths, you say, I can help you with that. And there's a new new service or product idea.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because it's our intuition is always connected to the market. And I mean, you know, you're marketing, right? It's changing all the time. Facebook is changing all the time. LinkedIn is changing all the time. So I think the best way to really stay innovative and get ideas is just connect to where your intuition is leading you to go. Maybe it's to talk to this person, or maybe it's to get on LinkedIn. I just started posting on LinkedIn a little more consistently, maybe 2.5 months ago. And I got my first client, my first private client directly from LinkedIn, right? And I didn't think of going on LinkedIn other than my intuition was like, you know, Facebook's a little crowded. Yeah. Why don't you try LinkedIn? And so now I'm loving it, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I'm finding Facebook getting really, really crowded again. That's another conversation anyway. But yeah, so connecting with people and talking to people and letting your intuition guide you on how to help them.
Yes. And can I add something to that real quick too? A lot of times what I've noticed is people, their intuition are saying like, don't go to these networking events, you know? So a lot of my people tend to be creative, a little bit introverted, like very type A spiritual people. And their energy is just taken up by these networking events. And they're like, but I need to meet people. And but there's so many other options, right? There's so many options available to them. They can speak at other people's events. They can just have one-to-one conversations and get so many leads and clients that way from one person versus having to put themselves in the energy of a networking event that they don't like. So don't feel forced to do things that you don't like. Some people love networking events, right? Just really go with what feels good for you, but go in at 100%. And I guarantee you'll maximize that so much more.
Yeah, great advice. All right. Do you have a favorite resource that you use most often?
Yes. So so I go on YouTube when I'm feeling down. So just really quick, something about me, because I come from this like pretty like heavy family lineage of persecution, and there's some mental health issues in my family. I was depressed and anxious a lot as an adolescent, as a kid, and even in my business, right? There were times when if I wasn't doing well, it would just throw me into a depression. And that's why I actually started doing some of this shadow work. So it was a gift, of course. So when I, right now, because I've worked through so much of it, it still happens sometimes. And then, you know, I do the inner work and all that stuff, but I still feel a lingering like malaise. What I'll do is I'll go on YouTube and I'll just find some videos that help remind me, right, of who I am, that help remind me of the possibilities out there, that help remind me, just like personal motivation videos, right? And I just play that. If I play that at the beginning of the day, during breaks, at the end of the day, it really helps to keep my energy up. And I always find that intuitively, I pick a video or something that just really speaks to me at that moment. So just go on YouTube, have that in your back pocket. It's great.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That is a wonderful resource. And, you know, the internet itself, the ability to be able to go out there and find some information that's helpful to you in a particular situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Use it, you know, and it's free. Please use it.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So what's the best way to keep a client on track when you're working with them?
Oh, I like to do these things where I surprise my clients. Because I feel like we can all energetically feel if someone is kind of dropping off, or if someone is maybe in a little rebellion stage, like, I'm not going to do what Anna says, or if they're feeling kind of detached. And I think more often than not, clients feel like they might be disappointing us or disappointing themselves because they didn't, you know, maybe get the sales calls in, or they couldn't close this deal or whatever it is. And so they kind of pull back. And so when I feel that a client pulls back, I just give them a call. and they're never expecting it, right? Or I'll just go on Voxer, which is this app that I use, or send them an email if they're not picking up. And so these check-ins, and I'm just trusting my energy, these check-ins just bring them back. And then we tend to have a deeper conversation that needs to happen, and then they get much better results. So I would just say, feel into your clients. And even maybe you have, for example, 2 scheduled coaching calls a month, and this is just an additional thing, like, just do it, right? Your clients are going to love you. You're going to feel so much better. They're going to get better results, so just surprise them.
Mm. Surprise them and regularly check in. Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've discussed this a little bit. What's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to differentiate themselves?
I would go to my answer to question 1 and 2, connect with your intuition. And, it's so interesting the different facets that we have. When I first started coaching, I actually, I didn't know anything about coaching, hadn't taken any coaching training. So I just called myself an energy healer because at that time, all I knew was Reiki, right? Because I was trained in that and I really liked it. But then because my energy was so solid and I was just like, I'm a Reiki practitioner, I will help you clear out your energy, I got all these executive level clients. And I pretty much wouldn't have, I had no choice, right? That's why I had to do it. And I think everyone has such unique qualities, unique facets of themselves that they can bring into their coaching, which is the reason why people would choose them anyway, right? So it's like, if you have a certain belief system, or I had a client who did wellness coaching, but she really liked running. And she was one of these freaks that could run and talk at the same time. And so she developed this awesome program where she would run with her clients who are also freaks and can run and talk at the same time. And she would just coach them, right, as they're running. And I thought that was so beautiful and everyone loved it. So don't be afraid to be you and experiment with things that you enjoy, that you like. That will make all the difference.
That's a fabulous example and sort of great illustration of ideal client as well. So perfect match for her, what she loved doing.
Yes, very niche, very niche.
All right. Well, thanks, Anna. This has been really fabulous. I've really enjoyed this. Where can people reach out to you to learn more about shadow magic, to learn more about you, and perhaps even say thank you for what you've shared today?
Oh, that's awesome. I would love that. So as you know, I'm on LinkedIn. So find me on LinkedIn. And then on Facebook, I just put up some photos from my Colombia trip. So if anyone's interested in that, and if you want to search the intuitive business school, in Facebook, I have a private group that's totally free and we jam there every, couple of days and I'm answering questions, doing videos. So, that's the intuitive business school. Or you can just find me, Anna Sui, on Facebook, and I'm happy to chat and connect.
All right, and we'll post links to all of that on the show notes to the episode. Now, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field and a leader in innovation?
I really want to echo how important it is to have a coach and how important it is to have a coach who can help you get to where you need to go. Because I guarantee you there are parts of your brand, there are parts of your potential, there are parts of your messaging that really can just explode where you are in your success. And part of the fun is actually working with someone to help you uncover those layers and to experiment. And so there is no one that I know that has had an incredible level of success that doesn't have a coach or even a mentor at some level, helping them dive deeper into themselves. Because like you said, Jürgen, there's like a part of us, we really crave love and belonging. And there's a part of us that really actually is afraid of that. Mm. And so when we can work with someone who we really can trust, and sometimes I just feel it out energetically, because even if someone is a business coach, they could actually be really good at some other things, like this inner work or messaging or branding or something like that. So it's really for you to feel out who you have a good connection to and really utilize that person and their expertise to help you implement what's right for you. So that's the biggest tip that I have. I would not be where I am today without my coaches, and always invest in yourself when you're in the most, let's say when you're in a lull, that is the most important time to invest in yourself. And it could just be those free YouTube resources, right? Or it could be when I was in a deep lull, I just put my coaching on my credit card and that took me out of it much faster than if I were just kind of wallowing around in myself, probably end up working at Starbucks, right? So don't ever be afraid to invest in yourself, because even if you invest in, let's say, like the world's worst coach, right, which will not happen, if you have that desire to grow and to be successful, that's all you need, because that person is just going to help you enhance your desire. When you have that will and the desire and that motivation, whoever you're working with, you can make them work, right? But please work with someone, because it'll just get you there so much faster, and it's just so much more fun, right, to learn more about yourself along the way. Mm,
absolutely. Yeah, I can definitely echo that. Now, finally then, Anna, who would you like me to interview on a future Innova Buzz podcast, and why?
Oh, that's really interesting. Oh my goodness. There's so many interesting things. I would volunteer Amanda Cromer, who is not far from you. She lives in Tasmania, and she does this really interesting bit around dark branding. So she's a creative. She used to work with some amazing fashion magazines and creative magazines. And she helps people find their dark brand. So that part of them that's a little bit luxury, a little bit edgy, but really interesting.
Mm. Okay. So Amanda, so how do you spell her surname?
C-R-O-M-E-R.
Okay. Amanda Cromer. All right. Well, we'll get an introduction from you, and we'll see if we can get Amanda onto the podcast as well. Sounds fascinating.
Yes. Very interesting.
Mm. All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today, Anna. This has been a blast. I've really enjoyed it. There's lots of great information came out of today, and love your little obsessions, and the listening to your intuition is a big theme today. And I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me, Jürgen. You have such a great energy. It's like intellectual, but it's also deep, and it's so funny, right? And I can tell that you're probably a really, really phenomenal coach for your clients. So it's been such an honor for me to be here with you and your guests. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed that delightful and engaging conversation with Anna, and took something away from what she shared. Among the many valuable insights in this episode, I particularly liked her approach to being curious with what's going on inside ourselves and how we can make that serve us. Also, listening to our intuition, our gut feel, if you like, and being connected to our values. I'd love to know what you took away from Anna's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/AnnaTsui. That is AnnaTsui, all lowercase, or one word, innovabiz.co/AnnaTsui. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Anna there, as well as links to her website, her social media pages, the Shadow Magic book, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Anna suggested we interview Amanda Cromer of Dark Branding on a future Innova Buzz podcast. So Amanda, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Anna Tsui. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access your transformational marketing hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Also, check out our Tales of Marketing Transformation show at talesofmarketingtransformation.com, where each episode will provide one valuable message to guide you on your journey of marketing transformation. And of course, tune in again next week to the Innova Buzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including Christina Nicholson of Media Maven, and a return guest, John Bellamy, a LinkedIn marketing expert. Stay connected. Subscribe to the Innova Buzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review, because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.